Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. Thank you for tuning in to the program. I'm the host of this show, joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, none other than Mr. Marty Sparks, lighting up the dark from the screening room. And we have in studio, whether you travel by truck, boat, or car, you want to ride with Double R, Reed Ritter, ladies and gentlemen, is in the studio as well. And I believe we have, let me see, wait a minute. I don't mean to see. We have another gentleman in the screening room with us today. Let me pull out my Schrolodex. Controlodex. I'm going to get to it. Wait a minute. I'm going to get to it. I'm taking too long. I know. I'm coming. Not that one. Jameson. You might eat your food and don't die of thirst. It's Mr. Hurst, ladies and gentlemen. Jameson Hurst is in the screening room, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, recognizing the primacy that God places on family, recognizing the opportunity that you have to serve God's purposes, starting right in your home, especially in moments like this where you have, not just rumors of wars, where you have strikes and reprisals and other things transpiring. It is always important, including in times like this, that we cleave to the word of God for clarity, for understanding, for comfort and peace, absolutely, but also for application. I'm going to talk about that a bit more in this first segment, as we have been discussing it several days before while these things are happening in the Middle East. I plan to discuss all of the things that have transpired over the weekend leading up to today, kind of walking through the weekend's events where the United States of America directly, using our robust military might, frankly, to use the MOP, the Massive Ordnance Penetrator, bunker-busting bombs, to severely hinder, if not destroy in total, Iran's nuclear capabilities. The reason why I say it either or in those two options is because we still have not had a full, what they call a BDA, bomb damage assessment, but early reports indicate at a minimum that Iran's nuclear capacity has been sufficiently damaged. To say it simply, you won't have many trucks going underground in Fordo anytime soon. All right. But before we get to that, I want to turn our attention to the Word of God because it is appropriate. We've talked about this before. The Spirit of God moved the Apostle Paul to pen these words. It is instructive for us to put this into practice, guys, to put it into practice. If nothing else has been resonating within me, it is the necessity for us to pray through circumstances like this, to not just be spectators, to not just providing opinions. You know, everybody, you have a lot of people today that are experts on Middle East affairs and Air Force personnel. And, you know, we got armchair generals and we got, you know, corner commandants and the whole bit. But my encouragement is to pray, in many ways. This is not the end. This is a new beginning in many ways. And I hope with everything in me that we are witnessing kind of a face-saving response by the Iranians accompanied by a white flag of sorts But we'll see. We'll see. Early indications do kind of lead us that way. But I want to return our attention to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Scripture we've talked about before, but it's not enough to talk about it. We have to put this into practice, and I want to take some time to do that today. Not only, I'm going to talk about prayer, to pray for our leadership, President Trump, Defense Secretary Hegseth, Joint Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Cain, Raising Cain, but also for Israel's leadership and, frankly, for the Iranians. I pray that the Lord would pierce the insane asylum that is the head of the Ayatollah Khomeini, but the Iranian people. You know, a lot of people don't realize that before there was Iran, there was Persia. You know, and before the Ayatollahs, you had the culture of the nation under the Shah, whose son, by the way, is calling on the Ayatollah to step down. He's in France saying these things. But this is a brutal regime, man. They hang their girls for not coming outside burqa appropriately. You know, they gouge eyes out, you know. And I'm talking in addition to the world's foremost state sponsor of terror. I'm talking about what they do to Iranians, you know. And many of the reports on the ground where you have the combination of evangelism percolating all throughout the nation in spite of the death sentences that accompany conversion to Christianity in the nation. But you also have the people there, many of them who despise the oppressive terrorist regime that they've endured since the Islamic Revolution of 1979. So, I don't think enough attention has been placed there, because there's no way you have the Mossad able to execute such, you know, top-notch espionage without having Iranians on the ground helping them. That's just a simple fact. But to the word of God we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of God is moving through the Apostle Paul to pen these words. And verse 1 says this: "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." As we've walked through this text in the past, Paul is saying, as a matter of first importance, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. I've explained that those four categories of prayer are employed by Paul not to highlight the specificities of types of prayer, but simply as representative of the fact that all manner of prayer should be offered for all people. All manner of prayer should be offered for all people. And then as a subset of the all people for whom prayer should be offered, kings and all who are in authority are mentioned. I've pointed out before, at the time that Paul is writing this epistle, the head of the Roman Empire that governs the jurisdiction where Paul is incarcerated and where Timothy is living is the Romans. Nero is the head of the Roman government at this time. This instruction to prayer has nothing to do with your preference or disdain for whoever the head of state might be, the leader might be, but it is in response, an obedient response to God's instruction to us. All right. It is our response to God's instruction to us. And the scripture says that as an incentive for doing this, that it sets the course for the believer to be able to live unimpeded and unhindered lives. That's what the Greek phrasing means for quiet and tranquil. Tranquil and quiet doesn't mean, you know, silent like an undisturbed lake. And it doesn't mean that we're mute. We live mute. I see you read. I don't say it. Now, look. No, it is the believer in this tumultuous circumstance. We have the way to proceed unhindered and unimpeded. And the road grader, if you will, for the hostile territory is through prayer. That's what the scripture is instructing us toward. That's what God is instructing us in, frankly. And too often, people are willing to complain, but unwilling to pray. And I simply want to encourage us to reverse that, man, or even to offer opinions and assessments, but a lack of willingness to pray. And I want to be informed. I want to encourage you to be informed. But I don't want to just be a talking head, you know. I don't want to just have information rattling around in my mind. And I don't want to just debate at the barbershop, you know, at the water cooler. I want to be about my Father's business, man. And in this moment, one, souls hang in the balance. You know, I cannot think about people losing their lives without thinking about, man, where would they go for eternity? The second thing I want to discuss is people's opportunities to come to faith. Can you imagine what the nation of Iran would be if the Ayatollahs, and let me be clear about this. I am in favor of regime change, but not with American troops doing it. I do not want the American military involved in any type of regime change. All right. But I certainly support, in terms of encouragement and well-wishing, if you will, for the Iranian people to be about it, to do it, to take care of it. Can you imagine what the nation would be where you have, to date, the largest amount of people coming to faith in Christ is in Iran? And if they actually had the opportunity to take what has been the underground church for at a minimum this last decade and they come above ground, can you imagine what that could do, what that could produce? Could you imagine the impact that they could have not only in the world, but in the Middle East in particular? Can you imagine when you have a society that has been under the jackboot of Islamic oppression, Sharia law, for the last 40 years? And for the people to realize, man, I don't know what y'all are talking about, but if that's what the Quran directs you toward, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. And to see, wait a minute, what could be made available? All right. And then you have the obvious reality of the death cult that is the Ayatollah's regime in Iran, where they have the countdown clock in downtown Tehran to where they're counting down the individual and shouting death to America with regularity. In fact, the Iranian parliament had a death to America chanting session just 2 weeks before the Mossad showed up. Just 2 weeks there. They getting down. I'm just suggesting, man, that we put into practice what God instructs us towards. You continue in this chapter, and I'll just, you know, run to it. Verse 8, the scripture says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray. The men. How often do you hear the concept of prayer associated with men? And just in case someone is wondering, the Greek term there literally means mature males. So this is not a generalized assertion concerning mankind. This is specifically because of the impact that prayer in this context has in the midst of the insanity that is transpiring, that the way that the body of Christ presses forward to live unhindered and unimpeded lives where we are advancing with great commission, anchored purpose. Therefore, the men ought to. You want to talk about a move of God? How about seeing some of that posted on some of these timelines and walls and things of that nature? That we would lead our families and lead our nation by praying through this tumultuous time period. Something that I think is worth considering. Hence my description of it. So, Father, I again lift up our president, President Trump. Right now, God, I pray that you would endow him with wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give godly counsel and godly counselors to him. I pray Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, similarly, would be endowed with wisdom, with godly counsel and godly counselors. And Lord, if he is not a believer, which I don't know if he is, if he's not, I don't believe that he is. I pray that his eyes are open to recognize that Yeshua is in fact the Messiah. Lord, I lift up the Iranian people to you, Father, as so many have come to faith in Jesus Christ in that land. Lord, I pray that you would motivate them, Lord, with a desire to see the name of Jesus exalted in their nation, and that the terrorism and the oppression of the previous regime, Lord, would be alleviated. And I pray that you would open the eyes of the crazed Ayatollah that he may recognize wisdom, and for all leaders in the region, Father, to be endowed with wisdom from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Whoa! Guys, we're about to break some news, and literally, as we were praying to end the last segment, the news agencies around the world are reporting. President Trump has posted on True Social. I'll read it right off of there. President Trump has posted this quote. It has been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours from now, when Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their in-progress final missions for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended, end quote. Guys, this is what's being reported. Obviously, I can't confirm this because I'm on the air right now as this is happening. But according to the reports, Israel and Iran has announced a ceasefire deal. Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu has told families of hostages in Gaza that Israel has accepted a new ceasefire proposal presented by President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff. The proposal involves the release of 10 living hostages, a 60-day truce, and a partial withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza. Hamas has received the new proposal from mediators and is studying it, though a spokesperson reportedly expressed disappointment with the lack of clarity around the terms of the agreement. A ceasefire agreement also has been reached between the United States and the Houthis in Yemen. According to this report, this ceasefire was mediated by Oman. The Houthis have agreed to stop firing missiles and drones at commercial vessels transiting the Red Sea. And President Trump declared that the Houthis have capitulated and that the U.S. campaign has restored freedom of navigation in the region. All of this stuff literally is breaking right now. The top line of which, of course, is President Trump's True Social post saying that there is a fully agreed ceasefire between Israel and Iran. That is remarkable. Of course, you guys know. I don't trust people who have a history of lying, you know, but I'm just telling you, this is what's being reported right now as we're on the air. This is breaking. This is amazing, man. And it's no doubt in response. And I've said this before. One of the things that you study history, you recognize that crazed Islamists who don't necessarily embrace reasoning, don't understand prudence, don't understand wisdom. One thing they understand and respect is force. Say what you want. This has just been the truth throughout history. You know, please stop bombing us. Please stop bombing us. Please stop bombing us. Please stop bombing us. Smack! The bomb stop. That's just the truth. What led to this, you know, and I pray with everything in me that these ceasefires are true, that that peace is sustained. But I have to tell you, frankly, I'm grateful that President Trump made the decision to go forward and attack Iran's nuclear capabilities. What has been said by every nation around the world, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, there's no other nation that had the capacity to do what the U.S. did. The world got a reminder that the United States military is the most potent fighting force in the world. Period. End of sentence. Full stop. No other nation can do what we can do. That's just the reality. And frankly, the world is a better and safer place when the real America is standing up. That's just the truth. By God's grace, I pray we never try to become or repeat being the world's police. That's not what we're supposed to do. That America First policies endure beyond the Trump administration. But having a crazed entity like the Ayatollah's regime with a nuclear capacity is an untenable phenomenon. So let's go through it. Saturday in our country, and it was, you know, eight hours from Israel's time, that the United States of America carried out what I believe will go down in history, one of the most potent military operations in the history of the world, frankly. The United States of America used upwards of a dozen B-2 bombers to execute the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, three of them, the Fordow site, which is known to be 200 plus feet below ground in a mountain range, under a mountain, the Natanz site, which Israel had already taken, had done a lot of damage to, and the Isfahan site through a combination of bombs and Tomahawk missiles and cruise missiles launched from a U.S. submarine 400 miles away from Iran. Mm-hmm. Portion of the B-2 bomber contingent went west that ultimately went to Guam with a wink to the Chinese over there. And the remaining fighters headed to Iran. The briefing that was provided by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Kane, Sunday morning, indicated that the Israeli Defense Forces helped to clear the ground. Not one shot was launched against American planes heading into Iran, and not one shot was launched against the American planes leaving Iran. That is remarkable. The mission included the B-2 bombers that are, these planes are ginormous. And when you consider the tonnage, the weight of the bombs on the planes carrying the bombs took off from Missouri. I left that out, that the flight mission was flown from Missouri, the United States of America, from Missouri, 37 hours in air, 18 hours to Iran, and about 19 hours back. The planes are so heavy because of the tonnage of the bombs that the planes had to take off without being fully fueled. And then once they were in the air, they were fueled repeatedly with in-air refueling jets. In total, over 125 American vessels were involved in this mission. And the U.S. was able to fly in, drop the bombs, and be back home before anybody realized. Let me say it this way. We're able to fly in, drop the bombs, and get out of Iranian airspace before anybody realized that it all happened. After the mission was executed, President Trump gave a brief press conference on Saturday. I want to give you a couple clips from that. It was brief, but I'll give you a couple from them. We'll go to clip number three. Clip three, go.
Thank you very much. A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier. For 40 years, Iran has been saying death to America, death to Israel. They have been killing our people, blowing off their arms, blowing off their legs with roadside bombs. That was their specialty. We lost over 1,000 people and hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and around the world have died as a direct result of their hate. In particular, so many were killed by their general, Qasem Soleimani. I decided a long time ago that I would not let this happen. It will not continue. I want to thank and congratulate Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. We worked as a team like perhaps no team has ever worked before.
So President Trump's statement once again confirms a lot of people were speculating whether or not the actions that were transpiring in Iran in particular caused a rift between President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. It seems like the UTEP two-step that was involved is that the Israelis are like, look, we'll get this party started and you guys come in and finish the job. I think President Trump's indications and his inclinations are towards peace, and so he wanted to wait as long as possible to try to have a diplomatic resolution to this, but he was scorned by the Iranians. There are reports that say even at a particular point in the negotiations, the Iranians refused to return communications, you know. And when I mean the Iranians, I'm talking about the regime, the Ayatollahs and the regime leadership. I'm not talking about the Iranian people, obviously. Well, President Trump continued in this press conference, and this was on Saturday. And it was interesting the way that he concluded the press conference in which he thanked God for protecting our amazing servicemen and women. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
With all of that being said, this cannot continue. There will be either peace or there will be tragedy for Iran far greater than we have witnessed over the last 8 days. Remember, there are many targets left. Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill. Most of them can be taken out in a matter of minutes. There's no military in the world that could have done what we did tonight, not even close. There has never been a military that could do what took place just a little while ago. Tomorrow, General Kane, Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth will have a press conference at 8 a.m. at the Pentagon. And I want to just thank everybody. And in particular, God, I want to just say we love you, God, and we love our great military. Protect them. God bless the Middle East. God bless Israel. And God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know what? You know, a lot of people, and you know, there's a lot of conversation about Trump derangement syndrome, and it's crazy. People like AOC and others are saying, "Oh, he needs to be impeached," and all this other kind of stuff. It just reveals their irrational disposition. I mean, certain people, honestly, they disqualify themselves from public discourse and popular discourse because they're so egregiously partisan in many instances, and this happens on both sides of the aisle. I want to be clear about that. But it's just absurd. And then you should have saw the people's reaction. Why is he invoking God? You know, people going berserk. But it just shows the sobriety with which he's evaluating this. Yeah, thank God that we have our fighting men and women in uniform that are executing these missions and to be able to return home unscathed. Man, that's amazing. God is worthy to be praised for that. That is appropriate. So soon after, and it's amazing how you didn't see hardly any support from nations in the Middle East for Iran, even after Israel started this process, right? None of those nations said a peep. Could it be because among the things President Trump did when he toured the Middle East, when he did not visit Israel, don't forget about that. He visited all of these predominantly Muslim countries, did not visit Israel. You cannot tell me that there weren't any conversations about, hey, dance with the one who brung you now. And they didn't say a word. And so then, the very next thing, you see the Iranian parliament, they pass a resolution to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. A large portion of the world's oil supply flows through the Strait of Hormuz. To be frank, the Strait being shut down would not hurt America, the United States of America, as badly as it would hurt, frankly, the Iranian ally, namely China. Upwards of 50% of China's oil comes through the Strait of Hormuz. Asian nations predominantly get their resources through the Strait of Hormuz. To which Marco Rubio, little Marco. He heard him. And he said, China, you might want to tell your people that they don't want to shut down this strait. And guess what the reports came in? China sent a carrier pigeon to the Iranians and said, nah, you're not shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. Guys, this was being reported. China informed the Iranians that you're not shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. To which you then had the events that transpired today. The Iranians discharged missiles towards the United States air base in Qatar. All right. And it's the, let me give the name for it. It is the El Udeid air base, the largest air base in the Middle East, which is in Qatar. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you that the reports are that the Iranians let the Americans let us know. Oh, by the way, we're about to shoot off a couple firecrackers your way. Don't worry. But you know, we have to, guys. You know, I'm reading between the lines here. But the reports are that the Iranians notified the Americans as well as the Qataris that they were going to shoot some missiles toward the El Udeid air base, which they did. I'll read to you the post President Trump made about that. That there were 14 missiles shot. The U.S. intercepted 13 of them, allowing. President Trump said the last one, they set it free because it wasn't going to hurt anyone. There were no injuries, no death, and no damage nearly to the U.S. airbase. And then we get this news today. Ceasefire has been agreed to. I hope and I pray and I believe the Iranians are waving the white flag, not because they want to, but because they know they have to. As I said earlier, they may not embrace rationality or wisdom, but they understand force and they understand bunker busting. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is, women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. So earlier this afternoon, before the ceasefire information came out, I told you that the reports indicated that the Iranians notified the Trump administration that they were going to pop off some fireworks in a face-saving maneuver. If you remember, when the Iran's Revolutionary Guard commander and General Soleimani was taken out in response to the Iranians taking hostile action against the United States of America, the Iranians talked a lot of jazz, said a whole lot of things, but then let President Trump know, hey, we're going to pop off some fireworks, but we really don't want to hit anything. All right, we don't want to hit anything. And we'll pop this off, and then that'll be that. Do you guys remember that? And so that's what happened, because a lot of people were saying, oh, President Trump is going into war. It was not a peep. Because I'm telling you, Islamicists and Islamists, they only understand strength. Which I'll tell you before I even get to President Trump's post, that if this ceasefire holds and if it's genuine, it's only because the Iranians recognize we're out of more bullets, boss. The Mossad and the IDF took all of our long-range missiles, hence the short-range salvo lobby toward Qatar, all right? You have Mossad-constructed drones brought in through trucks, brought even into Iran, even into Tehran. The Iranians are like, nah, we. I don't know how many people remember the old school movie, Chung Lee, Bloodsport. Kumate. Kumate. You know, Jean-Claude had that boy in the headlock. Remember that? President Trump, at about 3 o'clock Central Time, posted this, quote, Iran has officially responded to our obliteration of their nuclear facilities with a very weak response, which we expected and have very effectively countered. There have been 14 missiles fired, 13 were knocked down, and one was set free because it was headed in a non-threatening direction. I am pleased to report that no Americans were harmed and hardly any damage was done. Most importantly, they've gotten it all out of their system. And there will hopefully be no further hate. I want to thank Iran for giving us early notice, which made it possible for no lives to be lost and nobody to be injured. Perhaps Iran can now proceed to peace and harmony in the region, and I will enthusiastically encourage Israel to do the same. Thank you for your attention to this matter, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. So, this is what he said. And now we have the reports of the ceasefire. You know, as I mentioned earlier, this information broke literally while I'm on the air. So I haven't had the opportunity to vet, to go through these things. So I'm just sharing with you the information I'm receiving while I'm on the air. And I hope with everything in me that prudence prevails and that peace prevails. But I genuinely believe that this is a result of the effectiveness of the Israeli Defense Forces and the Mossad, combined with the effectiveness of the U.S. in launching our strike, against Fordo, Isfahan, and the Natanz nuclear facility. Now, I know that the portion of the B-2 bomber contingent flew west, and it's being reported that was, a diversionary tactic, you know, to draw attention away from where the real strike was going to happen east. But I can't help but think that a part of the calculus from Defense Secretary Hegseth, Joint Chiefs General Raising Kane, President Trump, was to give a little, hey, yo, China, I see you. Just so y'all know that I know that you know that I know that you know I see you. I can't prove that, of course. That's just my inclination. That's just my opinion. That's what I think. All right. Now, the additional concerns, and you know, the Iranians, they talk, they do all of this stuff. If the ceasefire is accurate, then maybe this is it. But the additional concern that, frankly, the Iranian regime was threatening that it would activate, you know, sleeper cells in the United States of America. It should not be lost on us that when we had over the last 4 years our porous open border, that you had an escalation in numbers of Iranian nationals that were entering our country through the southern border. 40, then a couple hundred, then 400, then 700, upwards of 1,500. That should be a concern. Obviously, we have those who are identified, but what about the scores of so-called gotaways? You know, that is a concern, and it should be a concern. There were discussions, or should I say reports, about efforts for hacking and other things of that nature with cyber warfare. But all of those ideas were being discussed ad nauseum before the ceasefire conversation has been reported. You know, I see things now that the nations, some people are reporting that the nations have not formally recognized the ceasefire that President Trump announced. So is this a scenario where President Trump posting on Truth Social is posting prematurely, or is he just forecasting what has truly been agreed to? It remains to be seen. It remains to be seen. Then I cannot, in this program, without mentioning, right on our own shores in Wayne, Michigan, you know, one of my dear brothers who I love and respect, Israel Wayne, lives in the state of Michigan, where you had the gunman who attacked the church in Michigan. Did you see that? Did you see those things? Man, we're living in tumultuous times, man. We're living in tumultuous times. People try to always turn the conversation to gun control. You know, the United States of America has always had citizens with guns. But we didn't have mass shootings. We didn't have people going in churches shooting them up. Now you see these things happening. Why? Because of the heart. The heart, the heart, the heart. Sinfulness is overtaken in the heart in many, too many instances. Hence my encouragement to pray through what's going on. Now, I want to point you to, and this is, and this, I'm sharing this just as a matter of information, not because I support this guy. The crown prince, the exiled crown prince of Iran, the son of the Shah, who views himself as the right leader of the Iranian nation, he's calling on the Ayatollah to step down and face a fair trial. But he's saying that from France. He's in France saying these things. But this is what he's calling for. And some Iranians around the world who are no longer in Iran are calling for the Ayatollah to step down as well in light of these events. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip one. Go.
So today, I have a direct message for Ali Khamenei. Step down, and if you do, you will receive a fair trial and due process of law, which is more than you have ever given any Iranian. To other senior regime officials, those of you whose hands are soiled with the blood of the Iranian people, you too will have to face justice. But we will not repeat the mistakes in other failed transitions. To those of you who are loyal to the Iranian nation and not the Islamic Republic, there is a future for you in a democratic Iran. If you join the people now, the choice is yours to make. I know these officers, these soldiers, these brave men exist because they are reaching out to me and telling me they want to be part of this national salvation. But now, greater coordination is needed. So to that end, today I am announcing that I am establishing a formal channel for military, security, and police personnel to reach out directly to me, my team, and our expanding operation. This is a secure platform to efficiently manage the growing volume of inbound communications and requests from those breaking with the regime and seeking to join our movement. For those patriotic members of our armed forces, the time is now to join the nation. If you do, I will make sure your service to Iran is not forgotten and is celebrated.
So we'll see. You know, like I said, there was an Iran before the Ayatollahs, you know. And so this guy is saying others are reaching out to him. Even some within the military are reaching out to him. You know, it again, it'll be interesting. I want to reiterate, I do not want our soldiers involved at all. I don't want the United States of America soldiers involved at all in any form of regime change operation, you know, stopping these crazy maniacs, these demonically inspired maniacs from getting a nuclear bomb. Praise God for that. But the regime change thing, that should not be a part. And frankly, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, President Trump, Defense Secretary Hegseth have all been saying these things. Now, I saw President Trump's post about regime change. Spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt was saying that President Trump was not in making any intimations concerning what the U.S. military being involved in anything. Now, but could it be an incentive for the Iranian people to be involved in that? Well, that's their business, you know. So you have this transpiring. You have President Trump saying that Iran and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire. Neither nations have confirmed that to date, as far as I'm aware. All right. As far as I'm aware, and this information is coming to us in real time. But if this holds, you know, and they gave Barack Obama the Nobel Peace Prize before he stepped foot in the White House. You know, his just by breathing, he brought peace. But the man who had the Abraham Accord signed in the Middle East and who made, and I don't care what you think about President Trump personally, he made a courageous decision to call this strike. And our military service members are the best in the world. For them to execute this mission, which you study about this, even though the decision to do so was made now, the bunker-busting bombs were created for this exact purpose. The United States military created, you know, a mock version of the Fordo site in our desert because they've been practicing for this. You know, if you saw the movie Top Gun Maverick, when old Tom Cruise's character dropped that bomb in the little vent, that's almost exactly what our service member did in real life without the, you know, the climb and all of that stuff. It's remarkable, man. It would be appropriate for President Trump to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize following the diplomatic circuit in the Middle East prior to this strike. The bringing to an end, Lord willing, or at a minimum, severely damaging the nuclear capacity of Iran. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. So I will be, and I'll report back to you, Lord willing, tomorrow concerning whether or not there are confirmations of the ceasefire between Iran and Israel, or the lack thereof. But I truly hope that President Trump's post is indicative of what is to come, to where these nations come out and confirm that they've entered an agreement to cease fire. Somebody say, what do you mean, Israel and Iran? Don't forget, man, the October 7th attack in 2023, almost 2 years now, 2 years ago, was launched by Iran. Hamas was an Iranian proxy. You must also not forget the Palace of Cash, the entrance into the JCPOA, the Biden administration releasing another $6 billion. You can rightly describe President Trump is cleaning up the mess that has largely been contributed to by the Biden-Obama contingent. And thanks be to God that She Who Shall Never Be President, the remix, ain't nowhere near the White House. Because can you imagine if Miss Can't Get Right, let alone Shoot Straight, was in office at this very moment? I do not even want to shudder to consider that prospect. Thank you, Lord, for your divine providence, your sovereignty over all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.